Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to our NLDS Game 4 recap here on Amazing Avenue Audio. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. I think it's episode 146. I've really lost track. We're doing too many episodes.
We're racking them up.
And with me is a very, very hoarse Greg Karam.
Yes.
Greg.
Hello. Yeah.
Last night, the Clayton Kershaw cannot win in the playoffs or get through the seventh inning hashtag narrative was put to bed, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But with that one out of the way, what baseball hashtag narrative would you like to see debunked or dismissed?
Well, the first one that pops in my head is the myth that David Wright is unclutch. Mm. I mean, I was at the game last night, and when David Wright, I guess when he struck out looking at that that curveball from Kershaw, and the guy in front of me is like, David Wright has never come through in a big spot ever in his whole life. And I was like, it's just like, I mean, how short does your memory have to be that he had the game winning hit, you know, a couple nights ago? It's just, it's annoying because I get it from a lot of angles. I get it from family. I hear it on the street. It's like one of those things that you can't convince people otherwise of because they just believe it.
You hear it in the bagel shop.
Yeah. Oh, David Wright. Oh, he's a choker.
I gotta say, for a guy from Bergen County, your New York accent's not bad.
Hey, thank you.
Pretty good mook.
Yeah. I've been in this area a while.
I think for me, it is that. That would be a good question. I didn't really prepare it, if I'm honest. I guess pitching to the score, or the idea that you can pitch to the score, I would like to see go away. You don't really hear it so much anymore that Jack Morris is not eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's kind of disappeared from baseball rhetoric. And I'm not saying that the pitchers don't pitch differently with a lead. Obviously they do. I'm saying good pitchers, Hall of Fame level pitchers, still pitch really well with a lead even after adjusting their tactics.
Yeah.
They pitch better than Jack Morris, basically.
Yeah.
So this is episode 146 of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. We were going to have this one up post-game, but then Greg couldn't get out of the stadium. It really just would have been like a seven-minute podcast walking back to the seven.
Yeah.
And then I figured, oh, I'll just do a solo effort when I get in. And then I got in at 1:30, and the last half hour of that drive was a little shaky.
A little dicey.
A little dicey. That thing where, like, my eyes are wide open, but you still see, like, the taillights of the car going, like, left, right in your vision. You're just like, yeah, I should be in bed right now. And I'm on the Merritt Parkway with, like, no lights around, so I just rolled down the window, so I was, like, blasting air in my face and turned the football ramble all the way up. And
yeah, that's one strategy.
Managed to make it without incident, but I'm like, I am not now recording a podcast.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I brought, like, my work pack with me into work to finish up my BP piece on Game 4, left it at work, which has my main laptop and my headset mic, and my Yeti Blue is still at my parents' house from when I recorded after Game 2. So I am on the original podcast recording MacBook.
It's amazing.
I'm talking into the 2007 MacBook Pro mic.
It's amazing how many technical problems you have, being that you're like an AV guy, you know?
It's true. And I also figure, you know, it was a pretty big game. We have Game 5 tomorrow night. We should do like a full recap and preview. Do it right. We have some emails that I've been filtering in. I haven't really been able to work them in, so we'll do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go from there. I know now, like, I mean, I guess we're going to do the Game 4 recap first, but sort of on the eve of Game 5, and after just listening to the Jays-Rangers game, like, on the radio at work and driving home, I am not mentally prepared for this.
It doesn't wait for you to be prepared.
Like, this is the third, like, winner-take-all Mets playoff game in my lifetime, and the first two have gone very badly.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I haven't thought about it that way.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I obviously it won't be as a tenth as intense as a Jays Rangers game, probably.
Hopefully.
I find it difficult.
Who knows? There's bad blood here.
It's true. We'll see how it goes. Let's talk about how we got there, Greg. We got there because Clayton Kershaw pitched really well, as Clayton Kershaw is wont to do. Clayton Kershaw, even on short rest, is a very good pitcher. I think it seemed like we were watching from the field level.
Yeah.
On the first couple innings, at least. And it looked like, you know, the slider wasn't there, the command wasn't quite there, they might have been able to do something, and then nothing really happened, and then Murph hit a home run, and then it was over.
Yeah.
He just started throwing the curve and the fastball on both sides of the plate, and what are you going to do? It's the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, that first inning was, you got your hopes up, 18 pitches, right, works a walk, and he looks a little off, and you're like, oh, here we go. And then he just buckled down, and he was dominant. And I felt hopeless. I mean, when Murph hit that home run, I mean, that got me a little excited. But even after that, it was just like, this guy's just too good. I couldn't do anything against him. It was a very frustrating game to watch.
You know, I said in my BP preview for the series, you know, look, realistically, even at that point, I figured you're going to see Greinke and Kershaw four times, no matter what the situation in Game 4. So you're going to have to beat, essentially, you're going to have to beat them twice to win the series.
Yep.
And now people will yell at me and send me emails saying, well, they should have already done that because of Game 2. Fine, but here we are. So you have to go out and beat Zach Greinke now.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be too bad. It shouldn't be too hard.
Your voice cracked a little bit there, Greg.
Yeah. Well, my voice is not very good right now.
Fair enough.
Too much yelling and screaming at the games.
On the topic of the other side, we have an email from Jesse. It simply says, and this came in before game time yesterday. Actually, it must have come in late on Monday. Do we have a motherfucker pitching tomorrow? Also, Syndergaard in the pen, or save that for Thursday? So, Steven Matz, what do you take away from Steven Matz's first playoff start?
He was a little... I thought his secondaries looked pretty good. I thought he was going to the curveball early, actually quite a bit. And I think that, I mean, it seemed like that was a function of the fact that he couldn't really throw the fastball for a strike and get ahead of batters. That was a little bit of an issue, and you know, maybe it's nerves or whatever. I've seen that be an issue in some other starts, but he was able to at least settle down. But you know, even given that, the runs that he gave up were a couple of soft hits and then one hard hit ball. and I'm not sure. I didn't, from my vantage point, I couldn't see what happened with Cespedes in the corner, so I'm not sure.